If you notice, the reviews are coming in for Venom right now, and people either love it or hate it. There's no in between. I haven't seen any in between.
I haven't seen any positive.
No, well, I've seen a lot of positive, actually. Today, all of a sudden, I started seeing positive. But Tony, the Rad Rican himself, he actually went and did a YouTube video last night on his review, because he hated it, dude.
Yeah. I've read a couple of, I don't see a lot of movies in the theater. And so I haven't, Tom Hardy's great. The CGI, is what it is, I suppose. But I just haven't seen anything positive about it. People are going to see it.
Right.
So.
Now, one thing I'm not going to say altogether what this is, because it'd be a spoiler for most folks, but the Easter egg you and I talked about a while back that I think is what was going to be there, it is the Easter egg, and I heard it's incredibly disappointing the way they do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was, to me, that was going to be the highlight of the movie, because I knew that's what the Easter egg was going to be, and from what I've heard, it's not.
Well, and that's what's so weird. I mean, I understand that, they have ownerships and properties and stuff like that, and so Spider-Man can't be in this movie.
Right.
Except for the only reason Venom exists is because of Spider-Man. And
it's why he has his form. That's why he looks the way he does, because of Spider-Man.
And I don't remember, because I don't remember following the story that closely, but I do believe that the symbiote extracted some of its powers from Spider-Man. That's why it keeps its form, and that's why it is what it is, because it bonded.
He mimicked his host.
Yeah. And that's... So that's what made Eddie Brock into a Spider-Man-like character.
Yep.
So that's one of those just weird things. Like, well, I'm sure they have, the backstory and everything without it. But even if Carnage is in there, it's like, well, Carnage is just a crazier version of Venom.
Right.
Anyway, guys, welcome to episode 104 of the Scary Dad Podcast. This is our official 2-year
anniversary. Yeah, I just realized that.
We will do one meta here shortly, because we've got to recap a couple of things. But after Halloween show this last week, we've just been busy and tired. So,
dude, I slept 12 hours.
It was rough.
Because I didn't go out afterwards. I was asleep by 8 o'clock, and I didn't wake up till 8:30 the next morning. And I had to go move furniture.
Reminder to move the phone, because we had a couple of brrr on the last episode, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, this is going to be a fresh eyes, because as we go into the Halloween season... Everybody's got their 31 Nights of Horror, and everybody's looking for fun stuff to watch. And recently, Scott and I have had an opportunity to revisit some classics. So we're going to do a Fresh Eyes double feature on good old Friday the 13th Part 2 and Part 3.
One of the most beloved horror franchises ever.
And also one of the most maligned. Whenever we did our ratings and reviews episode a couple back, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 rates better than all of the Friday the 13ths. So, and Part 2 of Nightmare was not the best of the bunch. So, in the spirit of sitting back and watching things that you have a memory of and trying to refresh the idea, we're going to talk about those movies. First, we're going to just discuss our recent event, our Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween show. Overall turnout was pretty good, considering they shut down the freeways to get there. So
I still can't believe that happened, man. The freeway had been wide open for over a month.
And then they shut it down.
And they decided to shut it down that day. And so, the rain didn't help either.
No. But if you were coming from the north or the east, you were basically shut out. There was no way to get there.
Right.
So everybody that we saw came from the west and the south. So Southwest peeps, thank you for coming out. We had quite a few people through the door. We had lots of panels, lots of cosplayers.
Had a lot of new faces too this year. Which
absolutely,
was nice.
It was great. So thank you if you participated. If you were a vendor, if you were a panelist, if you just came and hung out, thank you so much to the Kingwood Asylum guys. That was badass. The Scary Clowns
It was so funny to me how Swine and my daughter, all of a sudden, they bonded this year. It was the craziest thing, man. Because, you know, I went in the panel room where my kids were, and I see this big guy with a beard sitting next to my daughter. And I'm like, who's that? And somebody said, oh, that's Swine. He wanted to come hang out with Livy after he took his costume off. I was like, look at that. It's so cool, man.
Yeah, that was super cool. So once again, guys, thank you so much. We are full throttle into year 3. We will start working on that here pretty soon. And then we've also got an event we're going to be doing out at the Kingwood Asylum sometime in the spring. So stay tuned. Lots of great things to come. To all of our old friends and to all of the new friends we met the other day, thank you so much. Your support is really appreciated. And thank you for helping us just grow and turn this thing into the horror convention that Houston really wants.
And a big shout out to a fan of the show, and also I finally got to meet him after being friends with him on Facebook for the longest time, but Jason Yates. And it was so funny because I didn't realize it was him in the panel room, and the panel was over, and I said, hey, you are only the second person besides myself I have ever seen wear that Eraserhead shirt. It's like, I gotta find out who you are. And he says, it's Jason Yates. And I was like, oh shit, that is so awesome, dude. We're both David Lynch fans.
That is awesome. So we'll get into some movie business here in a second, but first, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
Alright on this date in 1871, this is October 8th, 1871, simultaneously, the Great Chicago Fire and the Peshtigo Fire in Wisconsin. Great Chicago Fire, 300 people were killed, 3.3 square miles were burnt.
Wow.
Yeah, that's major. The Peshtigo Fire on the same day in Wisconsin is the deadliest wildfire in history. Between 1,500 and 2,500 people were killed. So it was not a good day.
No.
On 1871. On this date in 1918 in World War I, Sergeant York kills 28 Germans and captures 112 single-handedly, earning himself the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Very cool.
Killed 28 guys and captured 112 by himself. How do you capture 112? Like, I can't even, like, get my kids to, like, go take a bath at the same time. This date in 1921, the first live broadcast of a football game.
It's a pretty significant event right there when you think about the popularity that the NFL had achieved at one time. It's mm-hmm. starting to slack off a little bit, but it, think about a Super Bowl ad costs $1 million for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this date in 1939, things are starting to get dark. October 8th, 1939, Germany annexes West Poland. It starts the dominoes fall. This date in 1967, Che Guevara was captured in Bolivia. Frequently, like shortly after he was shot.
And then right after that, he was put on T-shirts of hipsters everywhere.
Yeah, people who have no idea who that guy was. On this date in 2001, President George Bush announces the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security. Another big money dump. Let's see, on this date in 2014, Thomas Eric Duncan, the first person in the United States to be diagnosed with Ebola, dies.
Wow.
All right, happy birthday, notable births on this date in 1940, Crocodile Dundee, Mr. Paul Hogan.
I watched that. I watched part two also recently. It was on Amazon Prime. I forgot how funny those movies were. I forgot how sexy that chick was, too, that was in it also.
When he was, like, building his trap or doing it, he's like, hey, take off your bra. She's like, right now? And he just kind of gives her the look, like, get serious. In 1943, he's Chevy Chase and you're not. Happy birthday, Clark W. Griswold.
Comedic legend, for sure.
Do you hear him, like, recently go off on Saturday Night Live for, like, not being funny?
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, cutting up pretty bad.
Well, he's become a very ornery old man. There was a guy in New York.
Well, he's always ornery, but.
Well, there's a guy in New York that had recently filed a complaint because apparently Chevy Chase kicked him in the chest. He just did a front kick to him in his chest and shit when he got. He's like Bill Murray, just bitter right now. It's weird.
All right, for all of our younger horror lovers, 1943, Mr. R.L. Stine was born.
You know, I was...
The Goosebumps are coming back hard.
I went to the movies recently to see that The House with the Clock in the Walls with Jack Black, which is actually a pretty decent movie. I enjoyed it. But they had the trailer for The Goosebumps, too. That shit looks awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I never... The Goosebumps were a little bit past my time
there. Me too. You know. Yeah, but this trailer, I was like, I got to dig into this a little bit more. It was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool because my daughter, she kind of tangentially likes scary things. Like, monsters and stuff will scare her and they'll keep her up, so we very closely monitor what it is she watches. But like me, she's very curious, so she'll ask questions.
Right.
And like, you know, I have like the Jason Voorhees action figures and stuff, and she'll be like, so, why does he wear the mask? Is he ugly underneath? And does he just kill people? And why does he kill people? Like, she wants to know the story. And, it's like, then she reads these little children's books, but they're all like the Haunted Library and stuff. So
yeah.
Here in a couple of years, she'll be getting into those Goosebumps.
Cool, man.
It'll be real cool. And that is it for notable births. And on this date in 2015, mentioned only just really because of the Cajun influence, but we lost Chef Paul Prudhomme. Cooked some of his recipes.
Paul Prudhomme was awesome, dude. He had K. Paul's as a restaurant. That was my favorite restaurant of his in New Orleans. It was he owned a few, of course. But my favorite Paul Prudhomme story is he was cooking at a golf tournament. It was an all-field golf tournament I was at one year at a city club in New Orleans. And the dude, he was cooking, and he felt a sting. He's like, ow. And he kept cooking and everything. And a 22 slug had apparently dropped from the sky into his forearm.
Ooh.
And he didn't even realize it's what it was. Like, a little while later, he looked and blood was kind of building up on his chef's jacket. He's like, what the hell's going on here? And he kept cooking. He went ahead, got it bandaged up, and he stayed out there cooking the whole time.
So he went and got a slug dug out of his arm later?
Yeah.
Wow.
Paul Prudhomme, he was a pretty awesome guy, man.
One hell of a cook, dude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's what I've got right now for the old business. So we're going to take a break real quick and listen to some commercials from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
June night in 1980, Friday the 13th, 12 of her friends were murdered. Why should Friday the 13th, 1981, be any different? Friday the 13th, part 2. The body count continues. 14.
You're doomed.
God. 16.
Help!
17.
Sandra? Jeff?
The day you count on for terror is not over. Friday, the 13th. Part 2.
They're back enjoying Friday the 13th part 2. You know, I tried to get Amy. I told her, I said, hey, how about we do this? You dress up like Pamela Voorhees, and I'll dress up like Jason with a potato sack. And she was like, no. She just had no desire to be Pamela Voorhees. It was just ridiculous.
She could have pulled off Jenny.
Yeah. Yeah. But I decided my pinhead costume, I'm going to revise it for actual Halloween, to where I'm going to square it off better on the shoulders. And I'm going to try to get Tom Martino to see if he could do a quick job where I shorten the point some to where it's more like Pinhead.
So. I mean, you look cool, but for context, if you would have had one of the other puppets,
yeah,
that would have been badass.
Well, I actually found a Blade mask, but I couldn't find a trench coat in time, so it is what it is. Okay, now it's time to get into a little bit. Mr. Gomez, if you could introduce it, please.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, you mentioned just a quick bite. You mentioned the wildfire earlier. Did you hear about that Arizona wildfire from last year, what has come out about it? Okay, last year there was a wildfire in Arizona that burnt 47,000 acres of land. It was recently revealed because the guy got arrested, charged, and he got fined like $11 million or some stupid number that he'll never be able to pay back. But a Border Patrol agent was having his gender reveal party for his baby. You know how everybody tries to do these cool YouTube videos, which I never got the appeal of. It just is the weirdest thing. So his idea was to get this container full of either pink or blue powder. They still haven't said which one it was. And put some Tannerite in it and shoot it with his AR. And that's what sparked this wildfire that ended up burning 47,000 acres of property. A damn gender reveal party.
Wow.
You got to think he felt like an ass when all this was going on.
I mean, it's a total accident, but still.
Yeah, so he has to make an initial payment of like $100,000, and then it's like $5,000 a month for the next 20 years, which doesn't equal $11 million, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, people get weird with numbers, but I remember somebody was talking, like this was years and years ago. People were talking about money, and this was like back when the Texas lottery was, you know, the most you could win at any time was like $5 or $6 million. And yeah. They're like, oh, I only play it when it's this big. And
your odds of winning are actually better when it's low because not as many people are playing.
Right. But the thing about this is the thing that people don't understand. The whole big number thing. $1 million. You're like, man, that's. But, you know, you should, you know, with your salary and your investments and all of that other stuff, you should probably, in this day and age, if you're living comfortably, you should probably have a couple $1 million in the bank by your retirement, right? So, yeah, $1 million is not enough to retire on if you get it. But $1 million is $50,000 a year.
In interest.
No.
No, yeah.
For 20 years. With no expenses. And no tax. If you had $1 million in your pocket, that is a $50,000 income outside of taxes for 20 years. Okay, so it's still a pretty decent chunk.
Oh, yeah.
But people don't think about it like that. They just think like, oh, well, I can't buy the Taj Mahal, so it's not worth my time. Like, I'll take it. You win one of those $1 million, I'll take it off your hands for you.
Okay, you ever watched The Goldbergs? You ever heard of that show?
I have. I've seen it a few times.
It's a pretty good show.
It.
I used to be a big fan of Patton Oswalt. He's kind of going a little too political lately, which, you know, I just don't care for whenever that starts getting espoused too much. But their Halloween episode this year is going to feature the one and only Robert Englund in full Freddy Krueger mask. It's pretty exciting. This may be the last time you will see Robert Englund on TV on the screen, dressed as Freddy Krueger,
which is kind of funny because awesome. he used to be Freddy Krueger like on all kinds of commercials all the time.
Yeah.
1-900-FREDDY. Call.
So yeah,
why would you call Freddy? You're like, well, welcome to the hotline, bitch.
Of course, the Goldberg is on ABC. It's a series set in the 1980s. They announced out of nowhere last month that England was going to play Freddy on screen for the first time since 2003. It's been a long time since we've seen him on the mask. And the synopsis is, despite Beverly's wishes, Jackie's parents allow Adam to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, and a disagreement between the families ensues. Beverly dreams of facing off with horror icon Freddy Krueger, who in her dreams Robert Englund is actually playing Freddy Krueger, which teaches her an important lesson about his son's relationship with Jackie. So if you want to see Robert Englund don the mask one more time, tune into the Goldbergs for their Halloween episode.
The Goldbergs is funny, dude.
It's a pretty good show, man.
And like they really do well with the nostalgia part of it. Yeah. Like the it's kind of like the Wonder Years almost, where it's like where the Wonder Years was filmed grainy and kind of like had that 60s vibe to it. The Goldbergs very much has an 80s vibe to it, you know. It feels authentic.
Yeah.
And it's pretty damn funny.
Okay, did you know that RoboCop, there's an X-rated version of it that is fairly rare to get. It's been put on a couple of the special edition DVDs throughout the years, but it's not very common to be able to see this incredibly graphic and bloody version of RoboCop. Are you familiar with it?
I heard about it. Like, I guess it was kind of floating around the Instagram a couple days ago.
Well, currently on Amazon Prime, you can see this version. Now, they don't know if there's a mistake that one particular one is being is the one that's available right now for free on Amazon Prime, but catch it while you can, which I plan on trying to watch it this weekend, but because I've never seen this version of it.
I love that, dude. There's somebody went to a con and has a photo op with Peter Weller, and she's wearing a t-shirt that says, "Remember that one time RoboCop shot that dude in the dick?" Peter Weller's awesome. Just laughing his butt off. He's cracking up. That was big news when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you had that one friend whose parents let him watch R-rated movies, and he'd come to school and tell you about it. And he's like, "Man, RoboCop shot this dude in the dick." And you're like, "No way."
And then he had a video game you could play with it at the movie theater. Okay, this is absolutely cracking me up. And I know this is going to spread to the United States eventually, but a university in England has recently banned clapping at university sporting events and shit. No, you cannot clap at all anymore for fear of triggering anxiety with students. You can only do jazz hands. So imagine a goal with their soccer team being scored, and you have silence and people doing jazz hands throughout the stadium. That is the most ridiculous shit.
You know, when the fourth right comes up, Britain's not going to make it this time. I mean, they're really not. They're going to just get rolled right over.
So the University of Manchester has taken the step of banning clapping and suggesting that they go ahead and just do jazz hands to celebrate things. That just blew my mind whenever I read that particular article. I could just picture what's going on with it. Okay, Halloween has not even been released yet. They're already working on the sequel, which kind of worries me. Because we don't know how good it is yet. You know, and they're going to already start working on the sequel. And the thing about it is, in my opinion, when it comes to a sequel, you should wait and see what works with the movie that you just released so that you can implement it in the sequel also. Because as of right now, the sequel is going to be pretty much the same, based the same as the current movie that hasn't been released yet. If the first one's crap, that means the second one's going to be crap. You don't have time to redeem yourself.
Right.
Or anything you screwed up. But recently, Bloody Disgusting has sources that have said work has already begun on the next Halloween film. Unknown writer as of right now, and as of right now, they've also been told that Danny McBride and David Gordon Green will not be involved with this next iteration. So they're already changing the creative team a little bit.
Well, I mean, there's always going to have... They definitely want to have something on deck.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely... It's kind of like whenever the Astros are playing baseball right now. So what... It's the bottom of the ninth. You're down by six. You know, your batter's up. He's two strikes down. You've still got a batter in the box. You know, you've still got one swinging, like practicing for the next even though it's unlikely that he's going to get to play, you got to have somebody prepared. So just because they're preparing for a sequel doesn't necessarily mean it's in production.
Right. Yeah, there may just be a discussion about it and everything, putting together a team and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one, we'll end it with this. Al Matthews, who star of Aliens, played Sergeant Apone in Aliens back in the day. He has passed away at the age of 75. So his best known film was, of course, Aliens. He's been in a couple other movies. He was even in, I believe, Superman 3. He was the fire chief in Superman 3. You know, you may remember whenever the fire was going down, Superman flew in and he told him not to go. He told somebody not to go in there. That was Mr. Matthews. He has passed away at the age of 75. So,
well, I have a little bit of new business myself.
Cool beans.
Since we're talking about Friday the 13th, the lawsuit has been settled. Victor Miller
yes.
got his creative rights back, which means that that opens the gates for updates on the video game, possibly new books, possibly new movies, all kinds of fun stuff. Because it was all on pause while
while
it was being
going on.
So if that paves the way for some new stuff, then all the better.
Right. You know, and somebody had brought up the topic, you know, they had tagged me in it on Facebook the other day, you know, how do you feel about this going on right now? And, you know, normally I tend to be anti-remake, but Friday the 13th is a series where they've, all the, you know, what, we're at 11 now? I think we counted once, 11 or 12?
Mm-hmm.
You can keep making new Friday the 13th movies. You don't, we've already gone away from the canon of the story. So we've changed the story arc already. So making new Friday the 13th isn't that big of a deal because
mm-hmm.
they've already done so many.
Well, and that's one of those things, too, that we talk about is making it Friday the 13th when they were first making them wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, they had a surprise hit with the first one. They rushed together to make the second one. The first one came out in 81, or in 80. The second one in 81, and I think the third one also came out in 81 or early 82. Like, it was like, boom, boom, boom. Like, they're like, we've got this hot iron. Let's strike it. And it turned into one of the most successful movie franchises in history.
Right.
So, why wouldn't you capitalize on it? And, of all horror movies, it's the one that people love to love Jason. People love to love the idea of the series. But even still, the individual movies are kind of maligned. I mean, I can go through and be like, well, this one's good, and this one's not good.
Yeah.
And this one's really not good, and this one's better than some. But, you know, like, if you've got a good creative team, you could really turn this into something.
Yeah.
And
even the thing about it is, because the movies vary so much, like we talked before, a lot of people hate Part 6. I think Part 6 is cool. It's totally different than the way it had been done before. You know, you got Zombie Jason for the first time. It's a goofy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not scary at all. But it's a fun movie. It's totally different in Part 2, than Part 3, than Part 4. But it's fun.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't mind any remakes or continuations of Friday the 13th. You know, there have been so many different directors and actors that have played the part, so on and so forth. I think it's a great thing. Let it keep coming. Bring more fans.
I've got plenty of room on my mask.
Bring plenty of people in to just get to know Jason. The younger generation could use some fresh Jason.
Okay.
Because the thing about it is, the Friday the 13th movies, if you look, we're watching Part 2 right now in the background. If you look at the clothes and stuff like that, and the things they do, and the way they dance when they're hanging out in the... Kids nowadays can't relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be you. You could freshen it up to go ahead. Look at this chick with the headband on. Nobody wears that shit unless they're playing tennis. And even when they're playing tennis, they don't wear that. So it's okay to freshen this one up. I don't mind.
Let's see. Next thing, our good old friend Tony Martinez with the Rad Toy Collector Show. He is having a Rad Cosplay Halloween Cosplay Singles Mixer at Watson's House of Ales on October 27th. So if you're single and you dig the cosplay scene, head out to Watson's and get your groove on with those guys. It should be a lot of fun. And finally, for new business, have you seen the trailer for The Haunting of Hill House?
No, no, I haven't, but we talked about it.
Terrifying.
Yes, just tell me.
The trailer for this TV series is more frightening than a lot of scary movies I've seen, front to back. This trailer is like, got you watching over your shoulder. It comes out on October 14th. So our next show will be coming out on the 15th. We'll be recording it prior to the premiere of this, but I will be on the 14th. I will be sitting there watching it.
Is that a Netflix show?
It is a Netflix show. And it's it looks absolutely incredible. So good on Netflix for really stepping on the gas for horror. And with that, let's call the end of new business, and we'll get back to some Friday the 13th.
An all-new three-dimensional process will put you in the picture, whether you want to be there or not. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. Join Jason in the woods on his day, if you dare. Friday the 13th, Part 3 in Super 3D. Rated R.
Starts Friday the 13th in Sacramento. Check newspapers for theaters.
All right, and we're back. And talk about a little bit of one of our favorite movie series there is, the Friday the 13th. Now, everybody pretty much agrees that the first one is a classic, unless you're Roger Ebert, and then you just really didn't like it.
Well, the first one you have to give respect to because it's the beginning.
Yes. But,
all things derive from that first one. Second one should be given much respect because we really get introduced to Jason. He is the antagonist in the second one and took over the series, of course. You know, you wouldn't have Friday the 13th without Jason Voorhees.
Right. They couldn't, like, because Pamela got her head cut off at the end of the first one, yeah. So you couldn't really continue it on.
Right.
Now, and to be fair, the whole idea of whether or not Jason, how did he survive in the woods, all that stuff, you know, your continuity issues, they discuss it in part two in the campfire story about, you know, how he might have survived and stuff. But it really doesn't matter. We're not here for grand storytelling. We're here for a slasher flick.
Yeah.
And as slasher flicks go, Friday the 13th Part 2 is, let's call it, pretty damn scary.
Yeah.
I mean,
to me, to me, Jason with the sack on his head is scarier than the iconic hockey mask, just in my opinion. In Part 2, it's interesting because he moves differently. He falls down.
He runs.
It's like he's learning himself, I guess you could say. He's you can see the growing up of Jason between Part 2 and Part 3. It's awesome.
Yes. Totally agree. Also, there are scenes in Part 2 that I keep going back to this because I'm almost in this almost study mindset of what is scary. The opening scene of Part 2, we have Alice, who is the survivor of Part 1, being stalked in her home by Jason. And it's suspenseful. I mean, the stuff that they do with kind of the light and the shadow, and is somebody there, and, you know, she thinks somebody's outside, and she looks, and she locks the door, but he's already inside, and he gets her. I mean, that's a good suspenseful sort of setup and delivery.
Right.
Now, of course, you know, teenagers walking through the woods and getting killed in different ways. I mean, but there's a lot of really good creative kills in this one, too. And it's not high art, right? But at the same time, it is a serviceable slasher that really paves the way for the legend of Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you said, the Baghead Jason. Now, here's something interesting, because having watched 2 and 3 back-to-back, there are a couple of little things that I noticed. that I just realized. And it's one of those things, little noticings. And the scene that's coming up right now is one that makes a difference. Terry's dog, Muffin, goes wandering in the woods and comes up on Jason, walks up to his feet and looks up at him. And then you don't see him again. Later on, kids are walking through the woods, they find him dead. They find Muffin, and he's been murdered. He's a victim of Jason Voorhees. At the end of part two, after she's killed Jason, they're in the cabin, and Muffin comes walking in. And then Jason jumps through the window and gets her, right? Well, this was a continuity issue, because if you look at the Jason that pops his head, you know, comes crashing through the window, he's a long-haired, red-headed guy, and one of his eyes is kind of like down on his cheekbone.
Yeah. His droopy eye.
But then when you move into part three, that scene is not there. It shows Jenny chop into Jason, and it shows Jason crawl away.
Yeah.
And then it shows, as the kids are driving into town, sees the cops like carrying the bodies out and stuff. And then Jason's in the barn. So the question then is, was that Jason that jumps through the window at the end? Or is that a dream? Did that really happen? Because if Muffin's dead, then that scene didn't occur. That's a dream sequence at the end.
Right.
Same as Jason jumping out of the lake in the end of the first one.
Right. He also gained a lot of weight between 2 and 3, considering it's the next day.
Yeah. But in part 3, he runs around without a mask on for most of the movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the bag head, and you see him. You don't see him clearly, but when you do see him, he clearly has two working eyes.
Yeah.
And he's bald. He doesn't have red hair.
Yeah.
So did he go home, fix his eye up real quick, and then shave? Like, how does that work? And I think what happens is, due to some what you might call bad editing, what was supposed to be a dream sequence gave you a look at what Jason might look like, but that's just what Jenny thinks he might look like.
Right.
It's not, because there's no way that he could have killed the dog earlier in the movie and then have the dog come walking in. And then why would they let the dog survive when Terry dies?
Yeah.
I also think it's pretty raunchy detail. Not raunchy, but it's pretty nasty detail that whenever they bust into his cabin at the end, Alice, with the ice pick in her head, is up against the table. Jason's mother's head's on the table, and uh-huh. Alice is, like, rotted with the ice pick sticking out of her head. He carried her home. Put her on the shrine.
Like a trophy.
So anyway, part two, Fresh Eyes, I mean, of the series, it's one of the scarier of the bunch.
Definitely, I agree with you 100%.
I would say it's probably the most scary of them all as far as actual jumps and frights and...
When you first meet Jason, he hasn't established, you don't know him yet. You don't understand what he can do yet or why he's doing it. Yeah. And that's one of the things that makes it scary. As it gets further along, you know the character all of a sudden, and you know what to expect. Part two, you don't know what to expect out of him. You don't know what he's going to do or what he's capable of. And like I said, throughout the movie, he's...
See, that dog is the dog obviously is dead.
Yeah, that dog isn't just knocked out. Like I said, he's grown into himself to become what he becomes later. But yeah, definitely. And just to me, the sack is scarier than the hockey mask. By far.
Picked up the Nika part 2 Jason.
Uh-huh.
The baghead Jason. It's a badass figure right there, man.
Yeah, so I saw it at the show.
It's so cool. Well, then that moves us into part 3.
one of my favorite ones. And you know, a lot of people give Part 3 a lot of shit because of the horrible 3D and so on and so forth, but you got to give it respect because it's where he gets his iconic hockey mask. And I remember seeing Part 3 when I was a kid, and it has some great jumps in it that, you know, the 3D doesn't help the jumps at all. You know, the jumps would still be there without the 3D. They seem to, like they used to do all the time with 3D movies, even leading up to maybe, you know, 10 years ago, they're still doing it, where they just find cheesy things to
3D
on. Yeah, just like Jaws 3D had some cheesy stuff that they used for 3D. Friday the 13th does the same thing. But you got to give that movie its respect. Because like I said, he gets his mask there. In that one, Jason becomes the Jason we know of through the rest of the series. For sure. He stops running. He's just stalking like a great white shark.
Well, and that's another one of those things, too, that I had forgotten about the opening scene at the general store.
Yeah. You know, the guy taking a jump, dump, and getting... Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole, like... the whole idea was, you know, he's just territorial. He's in the barn. Well, no, he went to that barn.
Yeah.
He went there for whatever reason, and...
Well, he becomes the killing machine where he kills for no reason other than to kill.
Yeah. Then he's just hanging out in the barn, and then those bikers get in there. I mean, but he was gonna take out the people in the house.
Like, yeah.
There's just no... But the bikers got in there first, and there's some really good ones in there.
Yeah.
And the 3Ds on the pitchfork the coming pitchfork. Out the back. That
the,
dude.
The worst 3D is the snake that jumps out of the rabbit cage. You can see the wires and everything. Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
Well, then there's the fruit juggling, and there's the yo-yo.
There's the clothesline, the stick for the clothesline, where they pick it up and they put it back towards the camera. Yeah. it's horrible. They're just trying to find stuff to do cool 3D stuff with. It really didn't have to be in 3D, but that was a trendy thing to do.
The best 3D is that spear.
Yeah.
Coming off the spear gun.
Yeah.
That kind of...
But have you watched it on DVD or VHS?
DVD.
Okay, because you can see the string that spear is running on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can actually see how it's being guided. There's a string at the top, and the spear's right here, and you can see it going along the line.
But again, just like the brutality. Well, I like the fact, again, that he's unmasked for most of it.
Yeah.
Because in later films, they make a big deal about him becoming unmasked. Like, if he gets his mask taken off or knocked off or whatever, it's like, ooh, like the camera zooms in and like the music bumps, and it's like, dun-dun-dun. That's what he looks like. But in Part 3, he's mostly not wearing a mask through most of it. And when he finds the hockey mask, he puts it on. And she knocks it, you know, she hits him and it kind of pops up. So he takes it off for a second, adjusts it, and pulls it back down. But his look, if you erase the final scene of Part 2 and leave his head under the bag the whole time, then his look is such, he never would have necessarily looked like that other guy.
Right.
He just was always, because he looks more like the drowned Jason from Part 1, just grown up.
Yeah, just grown up. Yeah, he sort of had the same features and everything.
Now, it is pretty funny, because I posted a thing on Facebook recently. I was like, did nobody notice the continuity of the eyes across the movies? Because in Part 1, he's got two working eyes. In Part 2, he's got one deformed eye, and it's his right eye. In Part 3, he's got two working eyes. In Part 4, he's got one eye that's kind of, like, milky, and that's his right eye. Part 5, he wasn't in. Part 6, he's got both of them, and his skull is correct. Like, his head's not misshapen.
Right.
In Part 7, I believe it switches to his left eye.
Like, oh, it does adjust along with the movies for sure. Now the worst part about Part 3, which it just has always been a thorn in my side, but the terrible acting. What's the fat guy's name again? The one that brings the hockey mask out there. What's his name? Shit, I can't remember his name, but anyway, his acting is so bad in this movie. That's the one thing that takes away from it. I wish he would have had fewer lines.
I just
want people to like me. You know, it's a horrible, horrible part.
He's jumping out and scaring people, and
yeah, he falls. He's in the chauffeur rope, and he has the axe in his head, and he falls back, and they get pissed off at him. He goes, I'm just trying to get people to like me. Yeah. It's just, it's horrible acting, man.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, growing up as kind of a outsider nerd, it's like, dude, you're at a weekend camp out with, like, cool people and hot girls.
And you were
invited.
You're at an age where you should be past the shit you're doing right now.
And you got a hot date. Like, don't jump out and scare her and do dorky things. Just be cool. But, you know, they needed to have a reason to have that mask there.
Yeah.
But...
So they had the horror fan.
Which was definitely a good thing whenever...
wheelchair guy. He's so funny when he gets killed.
Where he pops out of... when he pops out and scares Vera. And he's wearing the hockey mask. He has a spear gun. He hops out and scares her. And then, like, he goes and disappears. Like, he runs into Jason. And then Jason comes out in the same gear. He's got the spear gun and the mask, and she's like, what are you doing?
I can't remember his name, because they say it so much in there. I don't remember what his damn name was.
But then he shows up later with his neck cut, and he's all like, ah. Yeah. She's like, stop messing around. He's all like, help me, help me. She's like, that was great.
The boy that cried wolf.
There was a lot of great kills in Part 3, too.
Part 3 was an awesome movie. It was a coming out party for Jason, because, like I said, he found himself, and this is the Jason we get to know and love as of Part 3. He gets the mask, he gets the size, he gets the strength, and he, like I said, he becomes Jason, the iconic
And he makes
character.
Sounds. He makes sounds. When she stabs him in the arm and in the knee, he grunts.
Yeah.
So he's not fully mute. Like whenever he's moving boxes and throwing stuff around the barn looking for her, he's just pissed.
Right.
He's like throwing stuff around and he's all like, and but man, you know you're messed up, right? You know you're screwed. And she pulls the knife out of the chick's back, stabs him in the hand, and then stabs him in the knee. She buries that knife all the way into his knee, and he looks at her, pulls the shit out of it, and throws it at her. She's just like,
you know, he's a badass.
I'm screwed.
Shelly. That's his damn name, Shelly. Hey, we got nudity. What's a Friday the 13th movie without nudity?
Part 3. Not a boob in the movie.
They have bikinis.
They did, but there's no boobs in
it. Yeah, I know. And like I said, that's one of my favorite ones. You know that. That's one of the ones I love the most. Even though people rip on it for the 3D effects and shit, if you get past that, it's a very important film in the
I thought it was just story. I was watching it the other day and I just thought it was a lot of fun in a very much like the final third was really scary. And it wasn't Event Horizon scary. It wasn't The Shining like cerebral scary. But it was like Terminator scary.
Yeah, it was dread. There's like, no stopping this guy.
She stabs him, she cuts him, she busts him like 3 times. She hangs him and pushes him off the barn.
Yeah.
And she goes down, opens the door, and that bitch just reaches up and pulls himself up off the noose. there's just no stopping this guy. And even when she sticks him in the head with an axe, his response is to reach for her and try to get her some more. Like, he's just going to go down killing no matter what.
He won't stop. He's just a killing machine at that point. Like I said, he finds himself by Part 3, and that's the Jason we grow to know and love. That's why you have to respect Part 2 and Part 3. We have given you a ton of reasons why those should be iconic movies in your Friday the 13th viewing.
And, you know, talking earlier in the episode about, you know, possible remakes, you know, we've talked at length about Part 5. Again, for fans of the series, probably the one of the most hated of them because it's not really Jason. Yeah. But in reality, you know, that was the only way to continue it because Corey Feldman, like, pulverized his head.
Yeah, in Part 4.
But nobody enjoyed that. Nobody liked that. So they brought him back as Zombie Jason in Part 6. But you can really look at the first 4 of them. Well, you know, Part 5, I guess, as well, because it kind of rounds it around because of the copycat killer. That's the legend of Crystal Lake right there. That's the hillbilly... stalker in the woods. After that, he's just It's supernatural. It's
He's zombie Jason.
It's way past.
That's where, at that point, you have no more rules. You can just go ahead and do what you want to do. You can send him to hell. You can send him to New York. That's
when it
starts. Yeah, that's when it starts just getting ridiculous, because you can, you've gone away from any continuity, and you just throw in whatever you want.
But yeah, looking for movies to watch. So in the last month, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've watched 2 and 3. In the last couple of months, I've watched 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And in the last, well, and then I watched 6, maybe about 5 or 6 months ago.
I love 6, dude.
After 6, I'm kind of like, well,
I'm done. That's how I am. I'm the same way, except for Freddy vs. Jason and the remakes. But as far as Jason X, Jason Goes to New York, all those, I can't get into those. They just don't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kane.
I like Kane Hodder's Jason, but I don't like the Kane Hodder's movies that much.
Yeah.
Like, Part 7 would be good if it wasn't for even worse acting than Part 3. Like, there's some really bad...
Oh, it's hard to beat Shelley, dude. Shelley was horrible, man.
So what you think? We got Halloween coming up. You got 31 nights. You've got 11 Friday the 13th, or maybe even 12. How many is that? You got 1 through 9, 1
through
10.
10. Then you got Jason. Freddy vs. Jason, that's 11. You got Remake, that's 12.
So you got 12 movies out of 31 nights. Watch 6 of the Friday the 13th. Go 1.
Yeah, 1 through 6. And
1
and,
through 6.
And you can stop there, and you'll be happy.
And with that, I think we're going to go ahead and call that an episode. We're going to get back to watching Friday the 13th Part 2. And old Terry floating around here with her Mickey Mouse shirt on. Thanks for tuning in, guys. This has been episode 104 of the Scary Dad Podcast. Remember, there is a lot of Halloween left to prepare for. We will be back next week with another episode. Enjoy and keep it scary.
Later.
You're with your baby.